Today is Tuesday, July 16th, 2024. Karen Denise Smith, co-owner of Kindred Thoughts Bookstore, located in downtown Bridgeport, Connecticut, is here to tell us about herself and her life in Bridgeport. Karen, what is your full name, and when and where were you born?
Hi, Beth. Thank you very much for having me here today. My name is Karen Denise Smith, and it's actually spelled Karen, K-A-R-I-N. And I was born here in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
And who were your parents or guardians, and do you have any brothers or sisters? And if yes, tell us who they are.
Sure. So my father is Melvin Bell, and my mother is Dolores Smith. And I have one full brother, I guess that's how it's phrased, and his name is Melvin, now last name Muhammad. And I have a half-sister, and her name is Lori Bell.
And where did you go to elementary school and high school, and what kind of courses, subjects were you taught?
Wow, so I have moved around quite a bit, but primarily the elementary school that I would probably make mention of is Roosevelt, and that was the older Roosevelt. Given my age, it's not the new, nicely updated Roosevelt that's here today. And in high school, I started off at Bullard Havens Technical School, and then I, with my mother and brother, relocated to California.
And what kind of courses and subjects were you taught?
Just the traditional classes in elementary school. Going to Bullard Havens, I was there for the better part of my freshman year, so I was able to experience both the academic side as well as the trade side. For those that have gone to a trade school, you know that you still have to get the reading, writing, and arithmetic in, but then you also get a chance to participate and cycle through a lot of the trades so you know which one you want to continue with for your high school career. So that's my experience at Bullard Haven. It was, you know, sort of cut short when my mom moved us out to California.
What kind of trades were they teaching?
So I had gone to culinary, which was a little bit of interest, but I was more interested in architecture. I just thought for myself that might be a cool job, you know, later on, a cool career. But they also had carpentry. I was not interested. They had, what is it when you have to deal with the stone?
Mason,
thank you. They had fashion design. I didn't want to do that. That was so typical girl stuff. I was more or less interested in the architecture.
And were you involved in any after-school activities, such as sports or drama or a band?
They didn't offer those at the time, so no, I did not. Yeah, not that I recall. I don't recall that.
And what books, newspapers, radio, TV did you or your family enjoy when you were a child and teenager?
Wow, so that's a loaded question for me. So our neighborhood paper was the Bridgeport Post before it transitioned to the Connecticut Post. And as far as books, I was an avid reader. I kind of am still introvert, so for me it was always a book in one hand and kind of me sucking my thumb in the other hand, which later led to me getting braces. But I loved everything from Judy Blume books I loved 1984 from George Orwell and those dystopian type of novels, Brave New World, So books along that caliber, you know, just about anything if you set it in front of me. I was also just a huge fan of this particular library. We lived down the street in what was Marina Apartments. It's there no longer. I recall, you know, kind of walking past the plaza and the Sears building that was right here before you got to the library, and coming into the library and spending a lot of time here.
Yeah, the building that used to be the Sears company store,
right,
is now part of Housatonic Community College.
Right, but back in my youth, it was part of the Lafayette Plaza, which then transitioned over to be Hi-Ho Mall. And then it was no longer. And then, you know, eventually we got the Housatonic.
And did you work after school or on the weekends and summers as a child?
I did not. My grandparents needed assistance. Both of my grandparents on my mom's side were handicapped. My grandfather had polio from the time he was 12. So by the time I was born, he, you know, was used to and always had crutches. And then my grandmother became sickly with diabetes, and eventually she became a double amputee. And so I spent a lot of my time after school helping to take care of my grandparents.
That's very noble.
Thank you.
What was your first job as an adult?
So my first job, I wouldn't call myself an adult because certainly my mom wouldn't have considered me an adult, but my first job, I went back and forth between California and Connecticut quite a bit during my high school years, just because, again, my grandparents needed the help, so I would come back and then go back to California. So my first job was in California, and I worked for a chiropractor, and that began my career in healthcare.
And tell us about your work experiences as an adult.
Again, it's mostly been along the lines of healthcare initially. So I worked for the chiropractor in high school, one of the few kids that actually had a job. So I was able to buy my own clothes and everything. And I eventually worked at a company called Cost Care, and it was one of the first iterations of an HMO that we have today, but it was a managed health company. And so we basically did what most HMOs do. We dictate, you know, what type of care you're going to receive, what's the duration, whether or not it's going to be approved. And that was out there in Huntington Beach, California. And I was there until I experienced my first big earthquake. And then that kind of got me back to Connecticut again. And I came back home. Because I didn't understand the concepts of being in a tall building and, you know, my manager running down saying, don't worry, the building's on rollers. I'm like, I'm from Connecticut, we don't get earthquakes, I don't get this concept. And not too long after, I was back home. I had also become a mom in that time, and so my son and I came back to Connecticut, and I started working for a chiropractor here. And I was with her for a number of years. I then went on to Oxford Health Plans, and I did some behavioral health with them. After I left the chiropractor, I went to Gunster Rehab Center down on Union Avenue on the east end of Bridgeport, and was there for a number of years, and then left there, went to Oxford Health Plans, and then I was there, and that's when this whole concept of outsourcing came about. And I was then told, after I bought my condo, that my job was being outsourced, and that if I wanted to stay with a company, I'd actually have to move to either New Hampshire, to Florida, or out of the country. And none of those were an option for me. I didn't have a support system, and so I found a new job. And I've been with the company that I'm with now for going on 26 years in September, and that's an IT company in Stamford. based out of Stanford.
And what's IT?
Information technology.
Okay.
So all things related to, you know, IT, we cover.
And you, Karen Denise Smith, are co-owner of Kindred Thoughts Bookstore in downtown Bridgeport in the arcade, located at 1001 Main Street, Suite 8. Mm-hmm. What kind of bookstore is Kindred Thoughts? How did you pick its name? And why did you want to open up a bookstore in Bridgeport?
Well, if it's okay, I'll start with the last question first. As I had mentioned, I'm an introvert, and I've always had a book in my hand. Everywhere I go, I usually have a book in my bag. And so I just love the idea of having a bookstore, because it was one of those things where if I could create something that I would want to visit, I would think that other people would want to visit it as well. There was also a bookstore here in Bridgeport years ago. It was called Zuri's Bookstore. And I couldn't remember the name for the life of me, but I did another interview during Black History Month, and someone made reference to it. But it was the coolest bookstore I had ever been to. And I was like, wow, this is just great. It was a black themed bookstore. And when you walked in, you could just kind of feel the culture, you know. It was just, in today's terms, they would say it's a vibe. But, you know, everything from the diaspora in terms of artifacts and just the decor. But more importantly, there were books that were authored by black people. And that was of interest to me. So I said, wow, you know, if ever I could own a bookstore, it would be a black-themed bookstore. Fast forward a few years, it did not last. And then there was no bookstore in all of Bridgeport. And then fast forward, then you had Miss Rainey Fay, who had a bookstore directly across the street from the library that we're sitting in now. And she was maybe here for 5 or so years. I don't remember the full number of years, but loved her bookstore as well, frequented it very often, had great conversations with her. And I just always saw bookstores, you know, in addition to, you know, selling books, the proprietors of bookstores are usually friendly people who love to discuss books. So even though I'm an introvert, I still love to discuss books. So had great conversations with Miss Rainey Fay, and was sorry, you know, that her bookstore closed. We opened up Kindred Thoughts because during the pandemic, I lived alone, and you know, it was a stressful time for us all. But for my own mental health, I needed to be able to connect with people. I lived alone, except my cat Batman, and I started online a book club. Using Zoom and using some other platforms that would get the information out there, we started hosting book clubs. And people were local at first, and then the word would spread through the platforms, the online, you know, platforms that we would host. And we had people dialing in from all over the country. At one point for one of the books, Warmth of Other Suns, we actually had an expat who dialed in from South Korea. And so we were like, wow, you know, and at that point I'd taken on a partner, who is my, you know, business partner today, Derek Tompkins. He's my cousin-in-law. And, we're like, wow, this is, you know, this is catching on. And so once the, vaccines came, and we were able to safely assemble, outside, we did local vending events. And people would say, oh my goodness, is there a bookstore in Bridgeport again? And we'd be like, no, not yet, but you could buy your book here and, you know, we'll keep you updated as to where we are the next event. And so the next event would come, and people would ask the same question. Oh, my goodness, is there a bookstore in Bridgeport? And we'd be like, no, not yet, but you know, give us your email address and buy your book and, you know, we'll keep you posted. And then it was our third time, and someone asked once again, and Derek and I said, you know, we really need to consider this. We ended up moving into a spot in an industrial building, the Bridgeport Innovation Center. The rent was dirt cheap, $400 a month, including the utilities, but it was the size of a closet. And if three people were in the store at one time, including us, one of us had to step out, literally, because it was the tail end of COVID, and we wanted to make sure that people remained safe. And we were there for a year, and we got great traction in that year's time. And we said, you know, maybe it's time for us to move into something larger. And that's where we came to the downtown space here at the historic Arcade Mall. And, you know, having been residents of Bridgeport, we knew the arcade in its glory and how it was a place where merchants could, you know, have a, you know, their shop, their business. And so we moved there, and we've been there since October of 2022, and we're still there.
And how'd you come up with the name Kindred Thoughts?
So it is, again, a Black bookstore primarily, but you can get any book you want. It just has to be ordered, and we let the customer know when the book is coming in. So thinking on a theme, most people would have to buy into a theme. So kindred is meaning of, you know, relation or like-mindedness, and then thoughts. So people who have the same kindred thoughts, meaning the same likes of this particular genre of book or bookstore, would be customers, you know, that would find us of interest. So that's where the name came in primarily. But when you also look at the kindred, there's a book by the late great Octavia Butler, and it is also named Kindred. It's one of my favorites. And so I wanted to pay homage to her by also incorporating it in, but more importantly, for the people that come in, that they feel a sense of kindred, you know, spirit. We didn't want to use spirit because that's a well used, you know, name, but again, thoughts correlates to books, kindred correlates to, you know, people of like mind.
And what type of events have you hosted at Kindred Thoughts Bookstore?
Oh, wow. So we do Reading the Classics, which is once a quarter, where we read classic Black literature that comes out of the great canon of literature that most of our ancestors have left for us, like Toni Morrison, like James Baldwin, like Ralph Ellison, and so on and so forth. And some of those books that they've written, you know, can be challenging reads. So it's an opportunity for people to kind of get a breakdown, excuse me, of the themes of those stories. We have a moderator that speaks to, you know, the book itself, and again, just helps people break down the themes there. We also have had different people come in. So one year, for example, we had someone come in and talk about stress during the holidays. Dr. Morgan, who's a psychiatrist and local to Bridgeport at one point. We've had someone come in talk about self-care. I'm a menopause doula myself, so I National Menopause Day, I spoke on that. We've had authors, of course, that have come through. Most notably, there was a rapper. His name was Jeezy, and he was doing something local in the area, and it got canceled. And so his publishing house, which was... goodness, it's not Penguin, but it's one of the other biggies. HarperCollins. They get our emails, and they reached out and said, "Hey, you know, Jeezy was supposed to go at this other place. They canceled. Are you available? It's next Monday." And I'm like, "Today's Monday. You mean like next week?" And she's like, "Yeah." So we said, "Okay." And he was like our first big, you know, big to do. And within a week, we had 150 books ordered, and we had about 135 people come into that one small space and get a book sign and get their picture taken. And for many of them, have, you know, one of the closest contacts with someone famous that they would have ever had. We've had other authors come through that are just as cherished. We've collaborated with Westport Library. We've been interviewed by, you know, CBS News and aired on Christmas morning, 2022 as well, December 25th, 2022. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of love, our little bookstore, and we're quite thankful for it.
Were you ever married? You said you had a son.
Mm-hmm.
And or if you had a longtime partner?
So as of now, I have two children, two grown children who are married with children. So I am a grandma. I'm a boy grandma. But I am single and have been, but longtime partners, yes. But legally married, no.
And what are your thoughts on current day Bridgeport? Do you think Bridgeport has changed since the days of your childhood?
Not enough.
It hasn't changed enough.
It's interesting. I just had this conversation about a half an hour ago. Having grown up in California, Southern California, Orange County more specifically, graduated high school there. And I returned for a best friend's wedding in 2017. I didn't recognize anything. And she lived in some of the same neighborhoods that I grew up in. I recognized nothing. And it wasn't due to poor memory at my age. It was due to the fact that there was so much transformation that the only thing that did, you know, kind of ring a bell for me were just the street names. But as far as building structures and just different things, mostly everything was new, or at least new to my eyes. I also have worked, as I said, in Stanford now for almost 26 years, and for a good portion of those 26 years, I was in a satellite office in Trumbull and had not gone back to Stanford as much as I could to avoid traffic. And unfortunately, they closed the Trumbull satellite office. I had to return to Stanford. Could not believe the transformation. And I said, Bridgeport is sadly one of the few places that you can go to, leave, and come back, and just about 90% of it is still the same.
So you think it's stagnant.
So I feel there hasn't been enough growth. I don't want to discount the efforts that have, you know, been made and the gains that have been achieved. But when I look at Stanford and I look at, you know, if you want to say that we're bookmarked, because of course I sell books, right, between Stanford and New Haven, you can just look at the progression and the growth. You can go to downtown New Haven and just, you know, they've got a Shake Shack. They've got, you know, every little store imaginable, and it's right in their downtown. You know, it's the hustle, it's the bustle. You can go there on a Wednesday and there's people walking the streets, there's restaurants and there's outside dining, and I'm sure some of it preceded COVID and, you know, when we had to dine outside. There's just more that Bridgeport can be. There's more that we can do, and there's more that we can be.
And what are your plans for Kindred Thoughts Bookstore?
So that's a great question. You know, we want to introduce, in addition to the services that we offer and, you know, the author events, we want to hopefully in 2025 have some sort of reading, excuse me, where, you know, we can be outside and, you know, sort of like the one book read where the city kind of, everybody in the city that wants to participate reads the same book, and just kind of do like a read-in. We would love to do that either at McLevy Hall or at the new green space that's down there. I think they're calling it the post office something or other. Right where the beer garden is?
Yeah. Oh, you mean outside?
Right.
Actually outside.
Right. Kids.
But that depends on weather.
Well, it does. It does. But it's not. It's not like it's not feasible, right? You have a rain date. You know, what we find is we sell a lot of adult books. We sell a lot of young children's books, you know, maybe seven or under. It's the young adult and the juvenile sections for us that are going stale. Children are so engrossed in their phones and their gaming that outside of the required reading of school, they don't read. And we should change that. We should do everything that we can to try to change that. So if it's being creative and taking things outside and, you know, they even read for 30 minutes and then they can play in the area, whatever. But let's try to engage children and meet them where they're at and their families as well. You know, I read an article recently where they say, for new housing development, one of the things that they're no longer building into the layout of the homes is a dining room because nobody eats together anymore. It's like the kitchen, you know, the dining area off of the kitchen, whether it be separate or part of, is one of the most underutilized spaces there are. And it's because people are eating in front of the TV or in their room. So when you look at that at a grand, you know, scale or, you know, larger picture, what it's saying is that as a family, there's not enough togetherness where we even come together for a meal. So if we can get a family to come out and read together, whether it be the same book or everybody has their own book, it is a way just, again, to, you know,
build community,
even within the home where community should already exist.
And thank you, Karen Denise Smith, for sharing info about yourself and Bridgeport. Any closing thoughts?
I just want to say thank you to you, you know, for being a part of our kinfolk family. That is one of the names that we don't like to call people customers, but for people that do, you know, come to the Kindred Thoughts bookstore. So just thank you for being kinfolk to us and thinking enough of us to invite me here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.